The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer, and we have a good foursome ready to tee off for you. I'm here with two guys who are going to be writing about the Cubs all season long on the My Teams app and at NBCSportsChicago.com, Tony Andracki and Cam Ellis, plus our Cubs pre- and post-host, David Kaplan. How's everybody doing today?
Everybody's good in Pretty this good. Seat. How about you two?
Doing well.
Yeah,
doing well.
Can't complain.
All right. Well, hey, we're getting close to opening day. It's not that far off, and we want to talk about the rotation. So today we're going to talk about Cubs pitching in general. The first half of the podcast will be starting rotation. We'll take a quick break, and then the second half – we'll talk about the bullpen. First, the breaking news from Tuesday. Pedro Strop with a mild hamstring strain right now, although Joe Maddon on Tuesday saying he's not ruling him out being ready for opening day just yet. So there you go. So it looks like the rotation, barring any injuries, knock on wood, would be Lester, Darvish, Hamels, Hendricks, and Quintana, who you acquired thinking he was maybe a one or a two. He's all the way down to a five. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess for him, it's a bad thing for the rotation. If they're healthy, that's pretty stacked.
Yeah, it's really deep. It's veteran. It's guys who have, for the most part, pitched in big games. I mean, nothing phases John Lester. He had his back against the wall, 3-1 in the World Series, and found a way to man up and get it done. So, look, I like this rotation. If they're healthy, they should show up at the park every single day and go, we got a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that Darvish is up to kind of that number two spot tells you a couple things. One, they really like what he's been doing this spring. Right. And two, they want to reward him with an opportunity to pitch against his former team, the Rangers. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to hit Joey Gallo or
anybody
else. But yeah, I mean, that's good. And can you imagine if you face Hendricks, Quintana, and Lester, if you're a series in a four-game series, right, or opposing team, I mean, those three guys may touch 90 once or twice in a game. Then you got Darvish for that last game, and he's pumping 96, 97 mile an hour fastballs. They kind of lull you to sleep in this rotation, and then they come out with Darvish and then Cole Hamels, who averaged almost 94 miles an hour in a Cubs uniform with his fastball last year. So I like the look of this rotation 1-5 right now.
Yeah, it's almost sort of funny where you almost like them more in a singular playoff series than maybe you do over the course of the year, just because, I mean, you got 3, 4, 5 really good starters. Quintana's in the 5 in this one, but I'd be hard pressed to see him a 5 in most rotations, right. But that speaks more to the Cubs' depth than him. I think that, yeah, there's a chance these guys are all really good. The age concerns me a little bit, just because outside of Hendricks, everyone's sort of on the wrong side of 30, but you can be much worse than what the Cubs have.
Well, and they do have depth there. It's not like they have four old guys and nobody behind them. They do have some options, but Tony, does that worry you? Because the Pecota rankings, that's certainly what worried the computer there. That's why they pushed the Cubs all the way down in that ridiculous ranking, but I do understand that's not a young rotation.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like you guys just both brought up, the age is worrisome. I mean, 35 years old for both Lester and Hamels. They have so many innings on their arms. And we saw Lester, I mean, he went up and down last year. And he had some really good stretches. But I think you look at the first half, and he was mostly lucky. And he even admitted to it. It's not that he was great. He actually had some really scary numbers in terms of swing and miss rate in the first half last year. Still somehow put up all-star numbers. Then got hammered really hard for about 7 or 8 starts after the break and found it again and was very good in that wildcard game. But Cole Hamels, for about 2 years, was not the pitcher we thought anybody thought he was. Then came to the Cubs, was rejuvenated for 2 months. It's curious. I mean, is he going to be like that for 6 or 7 months this year? We don't know. We don't know about Darvish's health, and he's, you know, on the wrong side of 30 now. Hendricks is approaching 30. And Quintana, I mean, in terms of health, he had a shoulder issue for, you know, most of the middle of last season. So there is concern over these guys because pitchers obviously don't stay more healthy the older they get and as they get into 30s and so on. But that's where you have the Mike Montgomerys and Tyler Chatwoods as backup.
So what do you do, though, with a guy like Chatwood who stretched out as a starter? Yeah. He is a starter. I mean, he's not a guy you're going to hand the ball to in the eighth inning.
Right.
But you've got to keep him stretched out because what is Yu Darvish averages like 24 starts a season.
Yeah.
So you're going to need 7 guys.
Yeah, probably maybe even 8 or 9 at various points too. They certainly did last year. But yeah, Chatwood's the guy that he's – Montgomery, if he's healthy, if he's fully over the shoulder thing he's had in spring, he's number 6. Chatwood would be number 7. So he's your long guy right now in the pen. And then he's, if he can continue to not walk guys like he has been doing so far this spring, he's a guy that will find probably a handful of starts this year.
That's why you can't trade him, though, right? If he's pitching okay, I understand you might get something back at this point.
What if somebody calls you and says, we'll take 8 of the $13 million?
Well,
for this year and next year, I think Theo would laugh, hang up the phone, or say yes, hang up the phone, and that would be it.
Like, I don't think that offer's coming, but let's just say he's remotely productive going into the season. You think he's going to be okay because you have such a mature or older or whatever you want to call it.
Mature's a good word.
Let's go with mature. Yeah. Huh? I want to respect my elders.
No, that's great.
Although I'm older than all of them. You do have to worry about that, and so that would be my backup plan is to have 2 guys that have been there and done that before I would go to the younger guys that you might try and call up, because sooner or later they're going to have to start calling up some guys from within the system.
They will, yeah, and I mean, they do like Alec Mills a lot. He's, I think, going to be 27 this year. He had a couple starts for them down the stretch last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they do like him. He would not have been on Chatwood's level. He's not going to make $13 million a year in free agency. But then again, Chatwood wouldn't right now either. So, they like him. But, yeah, Cap, I just don't think another team's going to call and be willing to eat even half of what Chatwood is owed.
And I don't think – yeah, I mean, look, Yu Darvish is good right now. Who knows how healthy he stays. I don't think it hurts to have starting pitching depth. And that's a far cry. I mean, Tyler Chatwood needs to prove a lot, but I think there's still a good pitcher in there. Some of the peripherals say there's a good pitcher in there somewhere. I don't think it hurts to have even unsure options, because unsure options are still better than no options, that's all.
Everybody loves to pick on Quintana. I mean, we've said a few times, I know you have on the air, he's a Buick. You hoped you were getting a Cadillac.
I retired that, though.
You retired it now because he's
not going to refer to him that way.
I ask you this, is there a better fifth quote-unquote starter in Major League Baseball? Find me a 5 in baseball that's got the credentials of Jose.
There isn't one.
There can't be.
There isn't one. The problem was when you give up Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease and
you
2 more players,
a 5.
You're expecting better offense, better defense, the National League with the pitcher hitting. Okay, that guy's going to be a star. And instead, he was okay, meh.
So this season with Quintana, would you settle for he's the best 4 or 5 in Major League Baseball if he pitched that way?
I'd
500 record, an ERA 3-something?
Probably would.
You would take that,
wouldn't you? As long as the 4 guys ahead of him all stayed healthy and pitched well.
Right, that's the trick.
That's the trick.
So who would be the first call-up then? If let's say Darvish gets hurt, things start to unravel for a couple guys, somebody else has a sore shoulder for a rotation through, who's the most likely guy to be called up first?
I think Montgomery is the first guy that comes in, and then you backfill in the bullpen from there. And same, Tyler Chatwood would be the next guy up. So then hopefully the Cubs don't have to backfill 2 spots. I mean, that would be
Mills would be third.
So yeah, Mills might be your guy for the doubleheader that you're not expecting. You get to call up an extra player.
Jenho Tseng probably be 9th.
Yeah, maybe Dwayne Underwood Jr., but he's probably more likely going to be in the bullpen. He pitched more out of the bullpen towards the end of last year after making that 1 spot start. And then Edward Alzolay, they look at him as a starting pitcher long term. He's their best pitching prospect, But given that he had the lat injury last year, I think he only threw 37 innings or somewhere around there. He's probably going to be maxed out at maybe about 70 to 75 innings this year. So he may not start a game for the big league club if he even makes it up here. It'll probably be just in the bullpen.
I was going to say, I would be shocked if there is some alternative universe where he's making starts for the Cubs. I don't think they necessarily want that to be the case right now. I think if all goes well, he's not starting for them this year. And that's not to say he's not ready or they don't want him to. It's just that they have so many quality starting pitchers right now. So if they're pulling up some of their best prospects already, I don't think that's a great look for them.
The perfect scenario for Alzolay would be for the Cubs to have Hamels go through this year, and then next year Alzolay is your number five starter for 2020, and Hamels leaves or signs on as Tommy Hotovy's assistant, as pitching coach, or whatever you want to do.
He said he wants to pitch till he's 45.
Well, okay. We'll see. I mean, he's in better shape than everybody else in that locker room, and that's not an insult to – except for maybe Jason Hayward, but that's not an insult to them. That dude is in really, really good shape. He probably could pitch that long.
So last year about this time, I put out an article. I knew what the reaction was going to be. I asked the question, where will this Cubs – rotation, this was the 2018 rotation, rank in Chicago baseball history? Could it be the best? And on paper, you went into the season going, wow, they have some pretty good credentials, but you understand. And then the article went through the different rankings of different teams we had. 05 White Sox would be number one if you consider only postseason. All you care about is how they pitch in the postseason. You couldn't do better than they did. If you went for a regular season and postseason combined, then you're talking the 2016 Cubs, which, again, was almost impossible to beat. On paper, it looked good last year. It all fell apart.
Madden even came out in spring training and said, best rotation I've ever managed.
So where is this one? Where is this one in baseball on paper in your mind? Is it better to have a deep five, a bunch of veteran pitchers, all guys that I think potentially could win double digits for sure? Each of those guys in that rotation is capable of winning double digits and having an ERA below four.
It's a top three rotation, if healthy, in the National League.
Is that better, or would you rather have two super aces and just some pitchers behind them?
I think for this year, I'd probably rather have the Cubs than, say, the Dodgers. But, I mean, moving forward, I'd rather have, like, the team that has a Walker Buehler and see what they could do. Yeah. But, yeah, with Kershaw's health and some of these other – he's the best pitcher in the National League, and we don't even know how much he's going to pitch this year. So I agree with you, Cap. I think the Cubs, on paper, look like a top three rotation. But, again, we'll see. All this injury, it's very possible that the best days are behind for Yu Darvish, John Lester, and Cole Hamels, that their best days are behind them and not in front of them. If that's the case, then we can't really sit here and say they're a top three rotation.
So top three is the bar. What's the basement? What's the lowest this could be if things unravel for the rotation?
Are we talking without injury?
No, I think you have to factor in injury, especially because these guys are older. If the best they could be is top three in baseball, that's a high bar. What's the floor?
Well, if you have catastrophic injury to Darvish and to Lester and to Hendricks, then the season's over. But for me, if they just don't pitch up to what we hope they pitch to, it's still a really good rotation.
If they all pitch an average season and you have an average amount of injuries, they're still probably top 10.
Yeah.
National
League, for sure. Have an average season with average injuries.
I think if there is standard, year later regression, they are fighting for a wild card spot in the NL Central.
All right, after the break, starters are one thing, but bullpens have become just as important in today's game. Will the pen spell relief or indigestion for the Cubs this season?
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Welcome back. We thought the Cubs would add a clear-cut closer this offseason, but just like that leadoff man spot we've talked about so much on the podcast, it's a little bit of let's see what's going to happen instead. So we've talked about the starters. Where is this bullpen at? And I ask this because, to me, there isn't an answer. We can talk about this forever, but there's nothing more difficult in baseball to predict than a bullpen. Guys that are great one year are terrible the next year. Steve Cishek was great last year, but he pitched a lot. Is his arm going to be worn out and not as effective this year? You just don't know.
I remember the late Kevin Towers. I had him on the radio. And I said, how do you put a bullpen together? He said, I went out one year. I convinced my owner, give me a bunch of money. I'm going to go get whoever it was. He goes, and they all stunk. He goes, dangerous. And I grabbed three guys who were on minor league deals. I had them stashed in the minors. I brought them up. He goes, one of them went to the All-Star game, and two others were outstanding, and we salvaged our season. He goes, I have no idea how you build a bullpen. He goes, you take failed starters with good stuff, and you hope they have the constitution to do it.
That's why Mariano Rivera was easy. Everybody voted for him, right? Unanimous vote, because he's such a rare reliever. Like, that just doesn't happen. Guys don't do it every year at the elite level in a bullpen.
It's rare.
Mostly because that's why they're in the bullpen and they're not starters. Yeah. That's how they got into the bullpen in the first place.
Can you imagine? I mean, so Craig Kimbrell would probably be the closest guy to Mariano Rivera right now.
Right.
Can you imagine if Mo was still a free agent in like 2 weeks away from spring training? At any point during his career, I could have never seen that. Never would have happened.
Any reliever that's in the Hall of Fame still has had seasons where it went up and down a little bit. Trevor Hoffman, all the guys that have been great. Lee Smith's going into the Hall of Fame. There were times when I was a Cubs fan watching Lee Smith,
and
I was
like,
oh, Lee Smith's coming in again. But you know what? He goes down as one of the greatest in baseball history. So where does this bullpen, on paper, where does it stand?
I mean, I think it is a valuable bullpen that walks too many guys. That is their Achilles heel, and that they put so many men on base, and a bullpen's only going to survive so many walks before it implodes. And they were only one of five teams last year that had four wins out of their bullpen wins over replacement. And they were not a bad bullpen by any means. They just had one very critical flaw, and that was walking guys.
Yeah, and the problem is they don't miss enough bats to walk all those guys.
Right.
I mean, with Mauro not healthy and you have no idea what you're going to get from him, basically your only main strikeout guy you have right now is CG Edwards, because Strope's strikeouts have declined and swings and misses have declined as he's gotten older. Now he's found out how to pitch. He's become an incredible ground ball guy. But yeah, Edwards is really the only guy that goes out there as strikeouts go up throughout baseball. Edwards is the only guy in the Cubs bullpen that can go out and get you a K like right when you need it right now.
Strope's piece that they just posted on the Cubs YouTube channel, by the way, is really good.
It is, yeah.
About how he goes home and he talks about how he's going to go back there when he's done playing. He just wants to help kids learn how to play baseball. He's not only a leader in that clubhouse, especially among the Latin players, but he's a very likable guy.
He's a good dude to deal with. I've liked him for as long as he's been here. The question I have is, okay, it's a 3-1 Cubs lead. You're in the eighth. Morrow's still on the DL. Strope is going to close, and C-Shack has pitched 2 days in a row. Who are you handing the ball to? Is that Carl Edwards?
I mean, yes, Edwards is the answer until he shows that it's not.
I think they'd like it to be.
He walks the first two guys.
I think it's, you know what, like, I guess we'll see where Brock is from his mono recovery from there. But, yeah, I think Edwards is the guy that they're going to try to ride this year. In it hasn't worked out the last 2 years. Both 17 and 18, he has faded down the stretch. Last year, I mean, you saw that. People at Wrigley were booing him, and that's never happened to him before. He was perplexed. He did not understand why his own home fans were booing him. But, you know, you get that. Like, he walked, who was it? Was it Ryan Braun that he walked with the bases loaded in Milwaukee towards the end of the year? But Edwards is there. He's their highest ceiling guy in their bullpen. He's the guy they have.
That great stuff.
And Theo's post-game after the season speech talking about production over potential, he's certainly one of those guys
Absolutely.
To focus on in that category. So of C.J. Edwards, Brian Dunsing, Brandon Kinsler, which of those three guys do you expect to be the bounce-back guy this year?
You know what? I think even with Edwards' struggles towards the end of last year, his numbers were still pretty darn good all the way
throughout. His stuff is good. Yeah.
And he still has
so many
strikeouts.
Got to throw strikes, like Cam said, though. I mean, that's
true.
It, period.
But he never gets hit. That's the thing. So even though he does not throw strikes, that's his issue. It's that he walks guys, throws wild pitches, and hits batters. He never gets hit hard. I think his career, he's under 5 hits per 9 innings.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is one of the hardest guys to square up in all of Major League Baseball, regardless of what role they pitch in. But, yeah, if he can somehow find a way to throw strikes, you're talking about the possibility of approaching Mariano Rivera-type numbers. Not that he'll be that guy, but possible.
possible is a key word.
Slow down, Sparky. No, but it's not. He has a cutter just like Rivera. His stuff is as good.
It's totally factual. Right. I just can't put the
Jesse
two in any
Jesse Chavez had Rivera-type numbers last year for 3 months.
That's like mentioning Cap and Brad Pitt in the same sentence. You just can't do it.
Can't do if it. Brad Pitt was cryo, it doesn't work.
Right. If Brad Pitt was wearing a white Under Armour vest like that, I would not be able to tell them apart right now.
That's true.
You're unbelievable.
All right. So as far as call-ups go, right, you're looking at, again, we mentioned, just like starters, who's going to be called up sooner or later? They have to go to the pipeline. Some of these arms have to come through.
Like Dakota Mekis?
Right. Tony just wrote about him. Jim Callis says maybe he doesn't have the best stuff of all those guys, the big arms that are down there. Maples can throw heat. Norwood can throw heat. But he can throw strikes. And what Cam just mentioned, you got to throw strikes. So who's the first guy out of that group to really impact this bullpen this season?
Yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, Maples still, you talk about swing and miss, he does not throw strikes.
His stuff is filthy.
It is. His stuff might almost even be better than C.J. Edwards, but you can't go up there and throw sliders 6 out of 7 pitches to these big league hitters, even if your slider's that good.
Right.
And that's the problem. He doesn't locate it well. He's just throwing, spinning in the middle of the zone. So even though he puts up like, I mean, he looks like Harry Potter, like making some like, you know, waving a wand and moving the ball.
I've never thought about pitchers like that before. Yeah, that's the first time
yeah,
I have.
Exactly.
It's nice.
Yeah. But I mean, big league hitters can figure that out after they see it a couple of times. So he would be interesting if he could harness it. But I think I'm with you. I think it is Mekis because of the fact he's 6'7". He hides the ball so well. He's so deceptive. So even though he throws 92 miles an hour, he's never had trouble with
walks.
He's
got good movement.
He does, yeah. He has that. It's not like Randy Johnson in the sense that he has that super deceptive motion, but he's so tall that his perceived velocity is so much quicker than what it really is because he gets down the pitcher's mound so far and hides the ball similar to Arrieta did and then from a different arm slot. So it's deception. That's what helps him.
So if Maples is like the Harry Potter stuff, where's Norwood? Because he's supposed to be second best, but also, again, a guy that struggles with throwing strikes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a good Harry Potter.
I don't know any other Harry Potter names.
Right, there you go. I think it's just, it's this weird thing where the Cubs continually have guys that you're like, wow, there'll be studs, and then they just can't throw strikes, and maybe that's a scouting thing. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but it's. I'm interested to see whether if they need to dip into Iowa, whether it is the guy who they think is most ready or the guy who throws the most strikes, because I think there may be a
great
difference.
Great point. Yeah, and everybody throws 98 now. Right. So James Norwood, he does. He throws 97, 98, can probably even touch it to 100 every now and then. But it's all about throwing strikes right. Because there are so many guys. You can walk down the street and pick a guy off the street, and he could probably throw 98 with the right kind of coaching nowadays.
The nerd crew in the newsroom is going to kill me, but is it Voldemort or something like that? There's some sort of Aldemort.
Yeah, Voldemort
Mike Piffle now. Yeah. He knows the character.
Voldemort's the bad guy.
But he's still some sort of wizard sorcerer.
Oh, yeah. You and I are so out of touch.
Yeah. I don't know. But Billions is coming back. We'll talk about that on the
Sunday,
next podcast. We might have to review that next week. Monday or Tuesday, a Billions review.
100%.
And throw in a little Cubs mix in it in there a little bit. What do you think?
I'm in.
Billions of dollars that the Cubs did not spend on their bullpen.
There's a tie.
And nice. It was sort of surprising that, first of all, it's surprising that some of those arms are still out there.
Yeah, it is.
That nobody's spending on. So where does this bullpen fit in? Because when you look at other teams in baseball, it seems like the Yankees have a tremendous bullpen. We know the Brewers do. But I still think the Brewers one might take a step back this season.
Well, you can't think they're going to keep putting up the type of productivity that they had.
No, because of what I said at the start of this segment is that bullpens don't do that.
Right.
That doesn't happen very often.
I mean, and they pitched so much last year that it's a – you wonder how much these guys are going to be able to bounce back. You talk about C-Shack. Almost everybody in that Brewers bullpen pitched more last year than they ever have before in terms of appearances and stuff.
The late Chuck Tanner said, take a team that had 6 or more players have what you call career years. Bet the house they'll take a step back the next year.
With the exception of Josh Hader, you could probably see that. I think Hader's stuff is so nasty that I would never bet against him taking
stuff.
He's
amazingly talented.
He was Andrew Miller at his height, but now he's only 24 still. So, like, Hader's going to be a thorn in the Cubs' side for the next 6 years at least.
Yeah, I think it just depends on how, again, with we all sort of assuming that the Brewers take a step back, how much are they going to rely on Hader? And how, when you saw with the Cubs last year, their bullpen was spent by the time it really mattered.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen with Hader, who's now the guy? I mean, you see how Andrew Miller is sort of declined the last couple of years because he just doesn't have it anymore because they needed whatever 40 innings or whatever it is a postseason out of him. It's just going to see if that's going to happen with Hader too.
And that what you just mentioned, the Cubs, their bullpen is going to be good. And for all the flack he takes, Joe Maddon is actually, the numbers back him up, that he's very good at managing a bullpen, at least in the regular season. So they will be right there regardless of what names they throw out. But they have to make sure that they're right there in September and whatever they're doing in October, whether it's, you know, wild card or whatever, and that's where the rotation plays into it. They need to make sure that there's no Chatwood, you know, throwing four innings and then the bullpen has to cover six or seven if they go to extras.
All right, real quick, we're going to go around the horn before the end of the podcast here. A grade for the Cubs pitching this season, a preseason grade. And we'll see what happens at the end of the season and come back and find out what your grade is.
Is this a grade what you think it's going to be?
What you think it's going to be. You think, and this is rotation, bullpen combined, Cubs pitching in general. Give me a grade, A through F, where will they rank at the end of the season?
I'll say a healthy B minus. So everyone stays healthy, but there's some negative regression.
I'm going to go with a B plus, and it's people are not going to stay healthy. There is going to be negative regression. There might be positive progression for Darvish, but they have so much depth. So there's so many arms out there that can come and help out, and I think that's what pushes them to B-plus area.
I would have said B-plus too, but I'll go one up on that. I think A-minus. I think it's all going to come together for the staff. I think some of the older guys may have some nicks, but because of the depth, I think they're going to surprise. I thought they were going to be much better last year. Maybe I was just off a year.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to go with TA. I'm going to go B+. I think they have veteran arms. They got a little depth that the guy needs a blow, and the bullpen should be okay once Morrow comes back.
So we all agree, better than average, better than a C.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. Thanks for listening to the Cubs Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special Cubs page, www.wintrust.com/Cubs. By the way, Friday on the podcast, Kelly Kroll is going to catch up with Wilson Contreras. So make sure you subscribe to the Cubs Talk podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. You don't want to miss any of them. Just 2 weeks to go till opening day.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.